Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Happy Monday! Welcome to Lori and Julia's show, My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. Thank you for being with us as we kick off another fun week here at My Talk. Lori is back. Much to discuss, including eventually her book list.
Oh.
Also, when are we going to talk about your new shoulder?
Oh, well, I guess that's got to be my weekend claim to fame, damn it.
Way to expose her right away.
She was going to tell us eventually.
I mean, my weekend claim to fame is, yes, I was in beautiful Mexico for 8 lovely days. Happy to miss all the weather here.
I can't imagine being away for 8 days.
Well, Julia, you need to let your imagination run wild and don't let the fun grass grow under your feet.
It really has. It's been so long, but how lovely. Yeah.
Had an afternoon flight. And we were going to get home in time to watch Game of Thrones. And, you know, I'm committed on vacation to doing nothing more than like maybe a 2-mile walk every morning with Casey. Going to the gym for me. He gets a membership, you know, at a gym. And
he's such a devotee.
And I told him about our snack exercise.
Yes.
Or, you know,
exercise snacks. 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there.
Yeah. So I'm having a snack exercise break, lightly running from the beach to the condo, which is, you know, 3 minutes.
I was going to say 2 steps away, but
a little bit more than that because we kind of like to be, so I'm running and I run around the corner and I thought, oh, these are these great steps, you know, that I could kind of do the, you know, boom, you know, get a little
stepping in.
Yeah. Idea. Well, they'd been freshly washed and my foot went out from under me and fell back. And braced myself, you know, I just stopped myself with the fall, but I did something to my already like little bad semi-frozen shoulder.
It's the bad wing.
It's the bad wing. And I'd even brought my exercises.
Was doing her wing exercises.
Because it was just like four
movements. For physical therapy?
For physical therapy. Yeah. And I'd been feeling really good. And we'd gone to this great Cuban band on Friday night and wild salsa dancing. My arm didn't hurt the next day. And so I was like, just really like, I'm on the mend. This damn shoulder of mine is on the mend.
And then you fall on it.
I fall. And thank you, Donnie. There I am.
There she
getting
goes.
An x-ray. I'm like, what the hell is happening to Grandma here?
Glamma.
I know. So that was my weekend claim to fame.
And that just happened yesterday.
And I didn't even tell Casey because I was just like, oh, okay, that kind of hurt a little bit. Yep. That really hurt my palm. And I'm glad I didn't crack my head. Mm-hmm. What am I thinking? Snack-cercising is not running. Snack-cercising is snack-cercising. Walk briskly.
Oh, Lorraine. Anyway,
what were your guys' weekend claim to fame?
Julia?
Oh, gosh. Oh, I went to a comedy show on Friday night.
Which one?
At the Comedy Club, Rick Bronson's Comedy Club at the Mall of America. I don't know who the headliner was. The lady who was doing the emceeing was funnier.
Yeah.
She was really good. She was really funny, but it was just, people needed to laugh.
Yeah.
We got that lovely weather last week, and it was just so, we had so much fun. The guy is done with his season, so he's available.
Oh, that's
so. I spent some time with him.
Were you at the Mall of America when that horrible thing happened with the little kid?
That area was all sectioned off. We saw it because we parked on that floor and we're walking that way. Yeah, that's just a terrible story that's developing. And then reading, really, Lori, prepping for Game of Thrones. I rewatched the entire first season.
Oh, you did?
And then I rewatched.
That is a claim to fame, man.
That's
a lot of watching.
And I downloaded, there's a website. I wanted to understand what the damn family tree of Game of Thrones is. So there's a YouTube video that you can watch that explains in about 5 minutes what the heck is going on. So you can have a flow. Mm-hmm. And then I printed the copy for you so you could follow along and get home, which was very helpful. And then I watched the last two of last season. I was getting ready for that.
Yeah, good. Everybody was getting ready for that.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Danny, how about you? What was your weekend?
I mentioned on Friday when Julie asked me, what are you doing over the weekend? I went to another fabulous concert at Chan with the fabulous Armadillos.
Oh, with Pamela McNeil.
Yes.
Yeah, oh boy. And they did The Wrecking Crew, songs from The Wrecking Crew, the great studio band. Mm-hmm. And those guys are unbelievable.
They performed on every record, it seemed like, from everybody.
Yeah, the Wrecking Crew is just amazing. And the family of Armadillos are amazing. Yeah. And I saw Pam after the show, and she's very excited. She's got a CD coming out this summer, and she's going to be performing at the Chan, and I think she's going to be performing with the same guys that she recorded with down in Nashville.
Cool.
Yay.
So yeah, she's very excited about that.
Oh, my God. How about Notre Dame Cathedral being on fire? This is so...
Okay, this is good.
Oh, it's so
night
terrible.
There, and it looks like the whole... It's terrible. If people haven't seen it...
When
Notre
I was
Dame,
there in September, they always have scaffolding up around Notre Dame. At some point around the building, I mean...
The roof is wood.
Yes, the whole thing, you know, 13th century, 857 years old. And it is... Here's something I learned on a tour of Notre Dame. Everything in Paris is measured from the distance of Notre Dame.
Because right out in front of it, they have a circle with a plaque on it that says Ground Zero.
Yeah. So everything is in relation to that. And Casey and I, not this last trip, but the time before, we did take a tour and we went up into, where you go way up the stairs and you can look out and...
It's called Point Zero, sorry.
Yeah, Point Zero. Anyway, just, I couldn't believe it. Casey's like yelling, Lori, the cathedral's on fire. And I'm like, what? And so they think it has something to do with the renovation.
The renovation that was going on.
Electrical, or I don't know.
A spark is all it would take, I guess. Oh, all that wood.
Terrible. Yeah, all the wood.
Also, real quickly, there was a suggestion made by a certain person that was tweeted out. Why don't they get the water tanker and just drop water on it? Yeah, that would possibly collapse the entire structure if they did that.
Well, they don't have ladders tall enough for those spires.
Right. Oh, and when it was happening, just a little bit of, we'll get in, maybe it'll be my random thoughts. I've got some history of Notre Dame.
We
but it is,
would love that.
Yeah, and I've got all the facts you need to know about it. And I'm so grateful that I saw it because I was asking some people around here, have you ever been? No.
Oh, I have a great picture of Casey. Just last year, I make him stand in his old man Italian pose.
Yeah,
right where he puts his hand in his shirt and just looks out like that. Right, yeah. And so I have a picture of him.
It's called Our Lady of Paris.
Yeah.
Really, and that's where the crown of Jesus was.
Oh,
so I don't know. They were making a mad dash to save some of the art, so we don't even know, but it's just a very, very sad day.
Yeah, it for really, that. And my Aunt Claudia, she was like...
Number one visited place in all of
Paris. She's like, please light a candle, for my mom and your grandma. So I did. I lit a candle for my grandma. And then
just
also for...
Just fast
yes, and for your dad, I lit one because, there's little chapels all over inside there where you can, just find one that speaks to you and then light a candle. And it's really... Really shocking.
It is really shocking.
Here's the latest, and then we can go to break. The next hour and a half will be crucial to efforts to save what remains of the cathedral. There's a risk that if the great bell falls, and it's really big,
it's huge.
If the bell falls, it's the tower that collapses. There are firefighters inside and outside. The next hour will be crucial. Reporters on the scene. The spire is already down.
I saw that on a video. All right, well, keep your eye on that one, Donald.
Yeah.
All right, listen, when we come back, it's our stories that we can't get enough of, and it's the book list. Baby, dancing with a stranger. Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Happy Monday.
Give a shout out to a couple of ladies that's at the Cancun airport yesterday. I can't think of the one gal's name, but she and her sister came to Vegas with us 9 years ago, Planet Hollywood. We were reminiscing about
Remember how much fun that was.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Donnie, Planet Extra, the lounge where we broadcast
from. I think that's when I had my broken wrist and couldn't go in the pool.
Yeah. Dang it, Donnie. All right. Well, I didn't step in the pool once on my vacation, but I did step into a lot of books. And I read the best one first, which was just book-wise, I kind of was like, why did I do that? And it's the hottest book in America right now. It's called Daisy Jones and the Six. Yeah. We had the author book, this Taylor Jenkins read. And
then they canceled on us.
She canceled her, but...
What's it about?
Okay, so... At first, I thought it was a real story because the way this story is told, it's like a Rolling Stone interview where you're talking to all these different people who are involved with this band, Daisy Jones and the Six.
Okay.
It's in the 70s. It's California, Sunset Strip, Whiskey a Go-Go, Troubadour, Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll.
Right.
And it's a story about an imaginary band. I mean, it is a novel.
Right.
And anyway, it was just... It's like the making of a legendary band, this book. That's how it reads.
How fun.
And yeah, it's like written as an oral history. The author at the back of the book, there was maybe the inspiration for this was the Fleetwood Mac, how they, you know, Lindsey Buckingham and, you know.
The fallout kind of?
Well, no, but even way back.
Way back how they made
Even when rumors came out, Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks were dating and Christy, you know, so there was all this sort of where everyone was trading partners. And I think at one time Stevie Nicks was with Mick Fleetwood.
Sure she was.
Yeah.
Yes, they were.
And so anyway, that's what it kind of, it seems like she might've gotten the inspiration for that, but it is really
a
hot
book.
You
love that one.
That was my number one book.
Okay.
Number one book. Another book that I read that it's called Tangerine, and it's by Christine Mangan. And Donnie, you put this list out for us or whatever?
It's already posted.
Okay, it is. If you liked Patricia Highsmith's The Talented Mr. Ripley, if you read that book.
Okay.
So it takes place in the 50s. It's in Tangier, Morocco, and it's the story of these two girls who are real good friends at Bennington College in Vermont.
Okay.
And how it's now like 5 years later and something bad happened at the last year of their college and you don't know. And the story kind of goes back and forth. And it is sort of reminds me of a Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh, really?
In that seduction, crime, wily goings on. You can practically smell Morocco as you're reading it. The author was very descriptive. So yeah, I liked that book too. Then I read this book called The Punishment She Deserves. So if you know Elizabeth George, Donnie does.
I've read this book.
She writes British police procedurals.
Okay.
This one is a Linley novel. So there's this one reoccurring character. Anyway, I couldn't believe it was 730 pages.
Oh, my gosh, Lori.
I know.
It was so long, and I kept thinking I was going to get bored with the story, but it was so compelling.
How many days?
Crime. That one took me 2 days to read.
Oh, thank God. All right.
Yeah, that took me 2 days to read. It was just, but I liked that book. Then I read a book called The Proposal by Jasmine Guillory.
Okay.
Absolute. Well, I thought I was really going to like it. I bought it for the cover. I'm not going to lie. I fell in love with the cover.
And we watched the movie, The Proposal, that we loved with Betty White and Sandra Bullock.
So
you just didn't like it.
I couldn't. You know what? It is a fizzy kind of a beach read. I thought the sex in it was pretty good. I was happy about that. But it was so treacly.
That's not a good word for a book.
No, I know. And that's all I can think of. I think it would be a good little rom-com kind of a thing. If you really like a light book.
I mean, but is it too light?
No, it was.
You didn't like it. Forget it.
I just didn't like it.
No, fine. You didn't like it.
I gave it to someone I know down there who loves to read these
Just light.
Real light cupcake books.
Mm-hmm. Frothy.
Frothy, and all she's right. going to love it. But I just got so sick of, I could see the ending of the story by the second page.
Yes.
Then I read my one memoir. I always try to read it. Memoir. Graham Nash, Wild Tales.
Okay.
Donnie, I think you'd like this book. So this is Graham Nash.
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
But before that, the Hollies. The Hollies.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
He and his buddy Alan Clark, since they're that's 6 years old. Donnie, you would love this book. Mm. So it's his story about how he gets into music, and it's at a young age, and he's from working class Manchester,
right,
England. And but it's just, if you love rock and roll memoirs, or you want to get more into it, I recommend Wild Tales, because I think here's one thing that stuck with me as I'm reading the book. At one point, Graham Nash says, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young is the only band in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame where every member of the band is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for their other band.
I love that.
So David Crosby for the Byrds, Neil Young and Stephen Stills from Buffalo Springs Field, and then Graham Nash for the Hollies.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I like knowing
and
that.
And they open for the Beatles, you know, the Hollies.
Oh, yeah,
was he dishy in it, Lori?
Very dishy, writes about the sex, writes about the copious amounts of cocaine, and he's best friends with David Crosby. And I mean, they did not think he was going to live. He was such a wild man.
Really?
Freebasing and everything.
Oh, jeez.
Then I finally read Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine. Mm-hmm.
Did you think it was complainy? It got slow?
No, I thought it was a tonic. I thought it was a fresh fizz. I loved it.
That's a great way to describe it. I loved it being read to me.
Okay.
Because of the English accent of the reader, and it was just delicious. But it's a downer story, you know, but it also is hopeful.
Yes, that's what I thought. I really enjoyed that book quite a bit. And then the two deep books that made me think were, I read, and I think one of our people out there in Radioland told us about this, The Little Paris Bookshop by Nina George, came out like maybe 5 years ago. And oh, gosh.
What's it? All right, Lori, get it. Lori's waiting for a call.
I know.
Well, she's doing that.
All right, fair enough.
Him back. Just call him back right now. She's waiting for a call on her bad wing.
Yeah.
You can just do that right now. So while she's doing that, I can't even see the clock.
The Little Paris Bookshop by Nina George was a very... It's about this guy who lives on a barge in Paris, the literary apothecary, and he tells people what books they need based on what they look like or if they tell him something.
So he's like a fortune teller with books.
Kind of, but at the same time, he's shut down his whole life because of this misunderstanding with a woman.
Okay.
And it just was
it good?
It was so good.
Oh, that really sounds good.
It was so good. Here's like a line. Memories are like wolves. You can't lock them away and hope they leave you alone. I mean, it's just full of all the...
And oh, yeah.
You go to Provence in this book, and you're in Paris, and there's love, and the protagonist, Jean, is 15. It's sort of... That book really made me think, and I really enjoyed the experience of reading that. And then the other book I enjoyed the experience was Michael Bodine's A Psychic Life, What It's Really Like. That book gave me so much hope about... You know, we have suicide in my family.
Yep.
There's people that have died that everyone has that, then you wonder where they are. And he just sort of in like how a lot of the ways we have our own intuition on things.
Yeah.
And like it's the last goodbye. Hey, everybody, thanks for hanging out with us on a Monday. Is spring coming? My mom says it is. Have faith, Minnesotans. Easy for me to say. I was gone all last week.
It's pretty wild because we have green grass coming up and piles of snow. It's just juxtapositioned right next to it.
I feel like the last 5 years, snow has come in April that is rock blocking flowers. The magnolia trees, rhodies, azaleas, everything that's sort of a little bit, I mean, it might be hardy for here, but like it kind of,
you know, pushed to be in our zone a little bit.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, damn it. Here we go again with this. Am I crazy?
No,
Is it snowed the last five?
It really, I feel
years
like
in April, like the second week.
I think if someone did like the last 2 years or 3 years, 2 years, I would say, of Minnesota weather, we've had more cloudy days. Mm-hmm. We've had more late snow days. I mean, the cloudy days is the big thing, because even if the snow came, it was still cloudy, Lori. Give us the sun. Give us something.
Right.
I need a bright, bright, bright sunshiny day. But so everyone made it through. I think, you know,
I have to admit, I did feel somewhat gleeful to be there.
Oh, Lori.
Because last,
I would too.
Last Thursday, Casey, he goes, I gotta tell you something. News of the world has to intrude. I go, what? Because I only have him tell me what's going on. Because Casey reads
the
Washington
the paper
Post,
every day.
The Star Tribune online every day. He wants to know what's going on in the world. I don't want to know anything unless somebody has passed away. There's been a celebrity divorce breakup kind of situation or a worldwide event that everyone's talking about. So he said to me, he says, well, Minnesota's getting hit with a snowstorm. And I was just like, oh, no. And then he said, Julian Assange got released.
That wouldn't have even made it for me, but whatever.
Well, but he just said, you know, that was kind of, he thought that was a worldwide news day event for that Thursday. And then he told me that Wendy Williams announced her divorce. And of course, we were not surprised.
No.
And then he told me about, you know, what happened with Erin Jacobs and his wife. And I just felt sick about that. So I was like,
so sad for Melinda and her family.
Terrible. So he was just like, that was like, those were the, I was like, okay, I needed to know all of those things just to know what was going on. And I just was getting some texts from friends and stuff. I was like, oh my gosh, why?
No, I know. Why is right. It was really sad stuff. Really sad stuff.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, something that came last night for us.
Oh, Game of Thrones. I'm telling you, I didn't even feel my usual amount of like real sadness about leaving. Oh, vacation's over. Because I'm like,
I've been here 8 days. I'm so relaxed.
Casey, we're going home to Game of Thrones.
Oh, I know. And my son, I'm like, come over. Nope. Going to Uncle Casey's, Auntie Laurie's, because they got the better TV.
Yeah.
No, they have the
Casey,
serious.
We have
Casey
a TV.
Bought a TV that.
It's big.
When we.
But it's
when,
beyond.
When Jon Snow and
Daenerys.
I love to call her Khaleesi. Danny. Yeah. We're flying on the dragons and they went over that dip. I actually screamed out loud because your stomach on some of these TVs.
Right.
It looks like 3D.
Yeah, you like
serious?
Vertigo.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
We're like, wow.
So Patrick Ricey comes by today and he's like, oh gosh, that dragon love scene was about enough to make me sick.
Oh, when the dragons watched.
No, when they were flying and everything.
I thought you meant when Jon Snow and Daenerys were getting it on in front of her dragon babies.
No. This was, so, for some people, last night's Game of Thrones, some people felt boring, there wasn't enough sex, there wasn't enough killing, there wasn't enough this. But I felt like it was so suspenseful because it set up everything for the year. And I guess I literally binged all day Saturday and part of Sunday on this.
I mean,
So we've got a couple cuts about last night's season premiere. They're not spoilers, are they, Donnie?
No, he very clear. He says no spoilers.
No spoilers, but I feel spoilers. Everyone was watching that in real time because people who were trying to watch it on HBO Go and Hulu.
They got it ahead of time.
No, but some people got crashed. And
we have
see
some people here who are watching it tonight, so not everybody's watched
it. Yeah, okay, here we go.
And winter is coming.
Winter is finally here. After an 18-month wait, Game of Thrones returning to TV for its final season. Anticipation sky high throughout the night. All top 10 of the worldwide Twitter trends related to the premiere. by the thousands fans gathering for watch parties, like this one in Chicago. Costumes and set displays setting the tone.
That's what we're doing for the last
Seven
one.
Kingdoms.
We debated staying home, but it was cool to have like a community of people.
It's so epic. It's so cinematic for a television show. I don't think we've had that before.
And those who weren't deemed to take it seriously enough even locked out. Chrissy Teigen chronicling her own husband, John Legend, shutting her out of his party for talking too much.
What are you guys doing?
There was no expense spared for the show's last hurrah. Costs for season 8 reportedly more than $15 million per episode. By all accounts, it was worth it.
I am very emotional right now.
The first episode bringing, wait, no spoilers here, but there were a lot of dragons.
All right, we can pause it there.
Yeah. Okay.
17.4 million here in the U.S. That is a new record.
Wow.
Yeah.
They were saying billions because this is...
Well, around the world. Yeah,
around the world. Donnie, my computer works now if you want to tell them not to come.
Oh, okay.
Our power went out and some things haven't been working.
All right, play the rest of that little GMA story.
Here we go. And as millions of fans were in front of their TV sets, many saying they were experiencing a blackout. HBO servers reportedly going down, setting Twitter on fire. Fans outraged, tweeting at HBO's streaming service. One user writing, HBO Go, you had 2 solid years to figure this out. HBO telling ABC News, quote, we are experiencing no issues with our services. Since its debut 8 years ago, Game of Thrones has grown into an inescapable cultural phenomenon. Critics, fans, even former cast members, now all nearing the end of the journey together. One central question remains that we put to Pedro Pascal, who starred as Oberyn Martell in a past season.
Who's going to take the Iron Throne?
Nobody's going to take the Iron Throne. They're all going to die.
Whoa.
When you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die.
Oh my God. I loved it when Sansa, when she met Cersei, and you could tell she didn't like her. And she goes, and what do dragons eat? And Khaleesi, whatever they want.
Yeah. I know. There was some good. Okay, so when going back and watching the first season, Laurie, oh my gosh, these people are so young. They look so completely different. I mean, those kids, like, you know, were kids. The Stark kids.
Well, Maisie Arya was is 22, so, you know, she was 12.
It blows you away how young they were. But anyway, if people want to get a little cheat sheet and have some help, you just Google Game of Thrones family tree. And it'll take you to the family tree, and then it'll also take you to YouTube, where a guy who does family trees of history and medieval times and everything just decided to do a Game of Thrones one.
Yeah.
And it'll explain who's who, and it was really helpful.
Well, you got three Lannisters in the running. You know?
No, I know. It's a very helpful little tool. I loved it. But so that was happening, Laurie.
It was good. And then you saw they showed the trailer. We got to see the extended trailer for Big Little Lies. Donnie posted that.
Part 2.
Yes.
That, of course, is June 9th, but they did air that before, right at the beginning of the show. And that's the longest one we've seen. And it looks like, because
we've got Meryl Streep.
Yeah, we got Meryl Streep playing
the mother of Alexander Skarsgård, whatever his name is on the
character.
Show. And Oh, Laurie.
Mm-hmm. Celeste's husband.
Celeste, thank you.
That was Nicole.
Kid.
Yeah, so so that looked good. And Oh, boy.
So I will tell you this.
Yeah.
This family tree, I'm not going to say anything, but if you look at it really closely, and if you watch the episode last night, you will find out something quite astounding. That's all I'm going to say.
Really, Donnie?
Yep.
Is it something that I
can't say what it is on the air?
No, don't. But all right, we'll find out.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Now
because
we're intrigued.
I loved having the family tree, cheat sheet, as it were. I needed it. This has been a good thing with my kids because one of them called me right after. Oh, I just got off the phone with Sam. Oh my gosh, it was so good. What are we going to do when this is over, Mom? You know. Oh,
yeah.
My kids are so into it. And I was talking with Sam before, what are your theories? And he's like, I've got so many, I can't keep track.
Yeah.
Well, they love this.
Yeah. When he came over last night, he said that on his spring break training or the baseball trip he was on, that they ended up
binging.
binging, but A, the weather wasn't that great either. But he said,
I know, I was on that trip.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. That was when I was on.
That's right.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Anyway, he was helpful.
Yeah.
Because he had freshly watched some things, and I had gone into this show like, I can't keep up with all these people. I'm just going to enjoy it for the boobs and dragons. And that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
You know, and any kind of wicked fighting that's going on and, you know, backroom plotting. I'm all for it, but I don't care how it's all fixed to one another. But
right.
But it was, now I feel like...
you kind of know a little more. When you look at the family tree,
You look at the family tree, Sam filled us in on a couple of things. And because it was fresh in his mind and it's fresh in your mind. So, yeah. And then we had watched...
the last episode of season 7 before you left.
Because that was so epic. Oh. We really could have watched probably the last 3 episodes because they were so epic, each one of them. So next week is 58 minutes. Last night was the shortest, 54 minutes. Next week's 58.
Okay.
And then the rest of the episodes are like 120.
Yeah.
Something right. I feel like we are going to need you know, to get dressed as these guys, Lori, and have a little dress party at the house.
Melissa Peterman was sitting in for Natalie Morales over at Access Hollywood. She's still in the promos.
She is still in the promos, Lori.
But Melissa Peterman was sitting at the desk with her Daenerys Khaleesi wig on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what is going on with her hair? Because she already looks like Goldilocks. She's got such amazing hair.
Thick, long, blonde hair. Yeah. It's fabulous.
All right, listen, when we come back, I will even say that, Julia, you and I had a sports moment together at the same time with the whole rest of the world yesterday. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We've got Lorene back from the South. Mm-hmm. Relaxed, but with a bad wing.
As it were,
she flew all the way home, and she's in pain.
I know.
So we've got a health clinic on hold right now trying to schedule something.
I just clicked it off. I probably shouldn't have done that.
All right, so yesterday, Lori, I think that you might have watched the final round at Augusta.
Yes, I think. Was that the other thing a lot of people were watching yesterday? Yes. Because Casey's like, the Masters is on, and I had come in to kind of pack, and so I started watching, and I'm like...
They played it early because there were threatening snowstorms. I mean, rain. So usually the winners on Sunday tee off in the afternoon.
Got it.
But so they had them tee off. Tiger Woods teed off at 8:20 a.m., which is unusual. You know,
he was going crazy that we had to leave for the airport.
I said,
as soon as we get to the airport, we'll find out. He goes, but I'm loving watching this. It's so good, you know. And we saw the one guy make the hole in one.
Yes,
you know?
Which was so fun.
So I don't think I'd ever seen that. And then, you know, I said, who's the guy in the tangerine and coral outfit?
Oh, yeah, he's
hot. He goes, he dresses real sharp, but he doesn't ever go anywhere.
Oh, God, I love Casey. I can't imagine. But see, he's hot. The Rory, what's his name?
McElroy.
Yeah, McElroy.
Yeah, but this was another guy.
Not that guy.
But anyway, it was exciting watching Tiger because, man, that guy, well, at the GMA, he's really, when you think about everything that he's been through and a key part of our gossip.
Yes.
That Thanksgiving, whenever it was 10 years ago.
Oh, yes, it was.
I mean, that story just went on for days and it was fascinating because it had everything in it. Sports, wealth, beauty, addiction,
the drugs. We learned about the whales.
Whales in Vegas. And I mean, it's kind of, and then just physically what this guy has gone through. All right, here we go.
The return to glory. He is back. The moments don't come any bigger than this.
In one of the greatest comebacks in sports history, Tiger Woods returns Sunday to the pinnacle of golf, winning the Masters, his first major in 11 years. The Augusta National crowd erupted as Tiger screamed and pumped his fist after securing his fifth Masters win. The former number one golfer in the world was met by his 10-year-old son, Charlie, who wasn't even born the last time Tiger won a major. Their embrace was reminiscent of the one Tiger shared with his late father, Earl, back in 1997 after Tiger's first Masters win.
It meant so much to me and my family, this tournament, and to have everyone here. It's something I'll never, ever forget.
Wow. I know. Well, what was
kind of... What did the great golfers say? I mean, are they
Jack
impressed
Nicklaus
with him?
Nicklaus was in the Bahamas, and he's like, he thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it had been 14 years since he won at Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking about all the time we spent with our kids when they were growing up watching Tiger Woods. If he was playing, he'd always be in the hunt. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, Patrick Roycey came by today and gave Donnie and I an earful, the greatest comeback in history. Give me a break. Ben Hogan had the greatest comeback in history. And so, because Tiger was really
hasn't he had, like, well, I think maybe this next bit talks about everything he's had to overcome. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Tiger in his signature Sunday red started the day two shots behind the leaders, but gave us vintage Tiger down the stretch. The epic victory is one many, including Tiger, thought might never happen after a series of personal and professional setbacks, including a DUI arrest and a cheating scandal that led to a very public divorce. Hampered by surgeries and injuries, at one point his world ranking had fallen out of the top 1,000.
I had, you know, serious doubts after, you know, what transpired a couple of years ago. I mean, I could barely walk. I couldn't sit. I couldn't lay down. I really couldn't do much of anything.
I don't think that things get any more special for me.
The opportunity to come back with this, it is probably one of the biggest wins I've ever had, for sure.
Aww. And it was really sweet when he got off and he ran and hugged his little, they said his little boy Charlie's 10 years old. He looked very little. And Sam, his daughter. And he said, I was really lucky.
His mom.
I know. Oh, and he said, I was really lucky that that kids were even here today, because Sam was playing in a state soccer tournament in Florida and they lost. So she could come. So the kids, we just said, let's come, watch dad. And so. Aww. I thought it was great.
Well, we get to the airport and we're standing, you know, in line, like everybody, every guy is talking about Tiger. Everyone's looking at their phones because he had just like locked it in. And one guy was like, let me watch this shot, you know, and he's looking down at their phones. Yeah. All these people just wanting to know, you know, did Tiger Woods, you know, did he win? What is going on? So people are like excited.
Second oldest to win the Masters, only behind Jack Nicklaus.
Wow. So as far as the majors go, Jack Nicklaus has won 18. Tiger Woods now has run 14 or 15. I think he's like three away.
People love a comeback story, and that's one of the most spectacular comeback stories. I mean, if you think about that, he couldn't hardly walk or sit 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of determination and work, the physical therapy that you have to do. I'm becoming an appreciator therapy, but because it takes so much discipline.
I'll never quit. That's what he said.
I mean,
that
is a great story that he was able to rehab his body, because to play the golf he was neck and neck with Francesco Molinari.
I know.
Which sounds like a really great drink to have, like in the
I wanted to hear him talk
Italy
at
or
the
something.
End.
Yeah. I'll have Francesco Molinari.
And they played in threesomes. You usually don't see that. It's usually two. But
it's kind of fun.
They had to have more people because they had to expedite
the rain.
Before the rain. Yeah, I thought it was really... It was really fun watching that.
Yeah, I was really moved by seeing him hug his kids and his mom. And it was just great to see all the other golfers be so happy for him.
And remember initially, I mean, the first round of Tiger was kind of a cocky.
Yeah.
We heard from his caddy that he wasn't the nicest guy to anybody. And they said, this is a different Tiger. That's
when you've been
humbled.
When you've been humbled and humiliated.
That'll do
and
it.
If you can, you know, really, you know, you take away from that and you become a better person because you've been humbled and brought to your knees, humiliated and come back from that. I mean, that is the best kind of story.
It definitely is. And, you know, I'm totally switching because you were gone. Mm-hmm. You were gone last week when Felicity Huffman pleaded guilty and then issued her statement.
I did read that because I was curious. You know, the PR lady in me couldn't. And when I read it, I just thought, okay, that was perfect.
It was perfect.
Perfect.
Yes.
So I'll give her a year. You know, she's going to go to jail, and then they'll release some of her movies.
Cause she is going to go to jail?
Everyone is going to do, they think, a little jail time. And Lori,
whoa.
Oh, yeah. She's going to do a little something, something. We don't know. You know?
You mean time? Like, yeah. Well, I guess Martha Stewart went to jail.
Yeah.
And Teresa people go to jail. For their so-called the white-collar crime. Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. It is happening.
But I did think Felicia, I was like, okay,
it was perfect.
It was perfect. And she pled guilty and accept. I bet Lori Loughlin is wishing she'd pled guilty.
Well,
geez, Louise. I mean, really,
she's in trouble.
I think that they misunderstood. I think they paid a lot of money for some big shot attorneys to tell them, don't worry, we can take this care of it. And they didn't realize. In the federal crosshairs of a big investigation like that, I think they underestimated.
And they totally did. And they didn't plead guilty. And then they got hit with another charge because of that. And now they can't plead because no one wants to take it because they won't take it away. They're in trouble.
Yeah.
She pleaded today not guilty. It was the only thing she could do because it's the only choice they had left because she did not take the deal at the time.
Oh, she should have taken the deal.
They're saying she didn't realize how serious it was. And you could tell that by her demeanor, walking around smiling, signing autographs during the court case.
And walking over to the prosecutors and introducing herself and shaking her hand, which you just know that her attorney is going, what in the hell, lady? Nothing says lady of the manor more than that.
Unbelievable.
Well, Elizabeth had a good line last week, Lori. But the courthouse is not the red carpet.
No, it was so bad.
She had the best acting job of her life for herself, and she failed to perform.
Yes, she really did. That's a good way of putting it. All right, listen.
We've got tickets to give away.
Oh, yeah, we do.
I'll tell you about those coming up.
All right, we'll be back. All right, welcome back, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We've got Loreen back from the South. Mm-hmm. Relaxed, but with a bad wing.
Bad wing, as it were.
She flew all the way home, and she's in pain.
I know.
So we've got a health clinic on hold right now trying to schedule something.
I just clicked it off.
Oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. All right, so yesterday, Lori, I think that you might have watched the final round at Augusta.
Yes, I think. Was that the other thing a lot of people were watching yesterday? Yes. Casey's like, the Masters is on, and I had come in to kind of pack, and so I started watching, and I'm like,
They played it early because they were threatening snowstorms. I mean, rain. So usually the winners on Sunday tee off in the afternoon.
Got it.
But so they had them tee off. Tiger Woods teed off at 8:20 a.m., which is unusual. You know,
he was going crazy that we had to leave for the airport.
I said,
as soon as we get to the airport, we'll find out. He goes, yeah, but I'm loving watching this. It's so good, you know. And we saw the one guy make the hole in one.
Yes,
you know?
which was so fun.
So I don't think I'd ever seen that. And then, you know, I said, who's the guy in the tangerine and coral outfit?
Oh, yeah, he's hot.
He goes, oh, he dresses real sharp, but he doesn't ever go anywhere.
Oh, God, I love Casey. I can't imagine. But see, he's hot. The Rory, what's his name?
McElroy.
Yeah, McElroy.
Yeah, but this was another guy.
Not that guy, it was in tangerine.
But anyway, it was exciting watching Tiger because, man, that guy, we'll let the GMA, he's really, when you think about everything that he's been through and a key part of our gossip.
Yes.
That Thanksgiving, whenever it was 10 years ago.
Oh, yes, it was.
I mean, that story just went on for days and it was fascinating because it had everything in it. Sports, wealth, beauty, addiction, the drugs.
We learned about the whales.
Whales in Vegas. And I mean, it's kind of, and then just physically what this guy has gone through. All right, here we go.
The return to glory. He is back.
The moments don't come any bigger than this.
In one of the greatest comebacks in sports history. Tiger Woods returns Sunday to the pinnacle of golf, winning the Masters, his first major in 11 years. The Augusta National crowd erupted as Tiger screamed and pumped his fist after securing his fifth Masters win. The former number one golfer in the world was met by his 10-year-old son, Charlie, who wasn't even born the last time Tiger won a major. Their embrace was reminiscent of the one Tiger shared with his late father, Earl, back in 1997 after Tiger's first Masters win.
It meant so much to me and my family, this tournament, and, to have everyone here. It's something I'll never, ever forget.
Wow. I know. Well, what was
What did the great golfers say? I mean, are they
Jack
impressed
Nicklaus
with him?
Jack Nicklaus was in the Bahamas, and he's like, he thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it had been 14 years since he won at Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking about all the time we spent with our kids when they were growing up watching Tiger Woods. If he was playing, he'd always be in the hunt. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, Patrick Royce came by today and gave Donnie and I an earful, the greatest comeback in history. Give me a break. Ben Hogan had the greatest comeback in history. And so, because Tiger was really
Had like, well, I think maybe this next cut talks about everything he's had to overcome. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Tiger in his signature Sunday red started the day two shots behind the leaders, but gave us vintage Tiger down the stretch. The epic victory is one many, including Tiger, thought might never happen after a series of personal and professional setbacks, including a DUI arrest and a cheating scandal that led to a very public divorce. Hampered by surgeries and injuries, at one point his world ranking had fallen out of the top 1,000.
I had, you know, serious doubts after, you know, what transpired a couple of years ago. I mean, I could barely walk. I couldn't sit. I couldn't lay down. I really couldn't do much of anything.
I don't think things get any more special for me.
The opportunity to come back with this, it is probably one of the biggest wins I've ever had for sure.
Aww. And it was really sweet when he got off and he ran and hugged his little, they said his little boy Charlie is 10 years old. He looked very little. And mm-hmm. Sam, his daughter. And he said, I was really lucky.
His mom.
I know. Oh, and he said, I was really lucky that that kids were even here today because Sam was playing in a state soccer tournament in Florida and they lost. So she could come. So the kids, said, let's come, watch dad. And so. Aww. I thought it was great.
Well, we get to the airport and we're standing, in line, like every guy is talking about Tiger. Everyone's looking at their phones because he had just locked it in. And one guy was like, let me watch this shot, and he's looking down at their phones. Yeah. All these people just wanting to know, did Tiger Woods, did he win? What is going on? So people are excited.
Second oldest to win the Masters, only behind Jack Nicklaus.
Wow. So as far as the majors go, Jack Nicklaus has won 18. Tiger Woods now has run 14 or 15. I think he's three away.
People love a comeback story, and that's one of the most spectacular comeback stories. I mean, if you think about that, he couldn't hardly walk or sit 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of determination and work, the physical therapy that you have to do. I'm becoming an appreciator
of physical
therapy because it takes so much discipline.
I'll never quit. That's what he said.
I mean, that is a great story that he was able to rehab his body because to play the golf he was neck and neck with Francesco Molinari.
I know.
Which sounds like a really great drink to have
I wanted
south
to hear
of
him
Italy
talk
or
at the
something.
End. Yeah.
I'll have Francesco Molinari.
And they played in threesomes. You usually don't see that. It's usually two. But
it's kind of fun.
They had to have more people because they had to expedite
the rain.
Before the rain. Yeah, I thought it was really... It was really fun watching that.
Yeah, I was really moved by seeing him hug his kids and his mom. And it was just great to see all the other golfers be so happy for him.
And remember initially, the first Tiger, the first round of Tiger was kind of a cocky.
Yeah.
We heard from his caddy that he wasn't the nicest guy to anybody. And they said, this is a different Tiger. That's
when you've been
when
humbled,
you mature and
no,
humbled.
When you've been humbled
so right.
and humiliated.
That'll do
and
it.
If you can, really, you take away from that and you become a better person because you've been humbled and brought to your knees, humiliated and come back from that. I mean, that is the best kind of story.
It definitely is. And, I'm totally switching because you were gone. Mm-hmm. You were gone last week when Felicity Huffman pleaded guilty and then issued her statement.
I did read that because I was curious. You know, the PR lady and me couldn't. And when I read it, I just thought, okay, that was perfect.
It was perfect.
Perfect.
Yes.
So I'll give her a year. You know, she's going to go to jail, and then they'll release some of her movies.
Cause she is going to go to jail?
Everyone is going to do, they think, a little jail time. And Lori,
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. She's going to do a little something, something. We don't know. You know?
You mean time? Like, yeah. Well, I guess Martha Stewart went to jail.
People go to jail.
For their so-called the white-collar crime. Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. It is happening.
But I did think Felicia, I was like, okay,
it was perfect.
It was perfect. And she pled guilty and I bet Lori Loughlin is wishing she'd pled guilty.
Well,
jeez Louise. I mean, really,
she's in trouble.
I think that they misunderstood. I think they paid a lot of money for some big shot attorneys to tell them, don't worry, we can take this care of it. And they didn't realize. In the federal crosshairs of a big investigation like that, I think they underestimated.
And they totally did. And they didn't plead guilty. And then they got hit with another charge because of that. And now they can't plead because no one wants to take it because they won't take it away. They're in trouble.
Yeah.
She pleaded today not guilty. It was the only thing she could do because it's the only choice they had left because she did not take the deal at the time.
Oh, she should have taken
the deal.
They're
saying she didn't realize how serious it was. And you could tell that by her demeanor, walking around smiling, signing autographs during the court case.
And walking over to the prosecutors and introducing herself and shaking her hand, which you just know that her attorney is going, what in the hell, lady? Nothing says lady of the manor more than that.
Unbelievable.
Well, Elizabeth had a good line last week, Lori. But the courthouse is not the red carpet.
No, it was so bad.
She had the best acting job of her life for herself, and she failed to perform.
Yes, she really did.
She failed to perform.
That's a good way of putting that. All right, listen,
we've got tickets to give away.
Oh, yeah, we do.
I'll tell you about that.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back.